Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3 hour deep space shindig. DA with you. From the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Los Angeles to Las Vegas, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. How are we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Great show coming up for you today. Really, really stacked show. We've got three-time Carolina Panthers Pro Bowl tight end Greg Olsen, who's going to join us coming up here in about 15 minutes from now. Greg Olsen is the rare commodity, a guy that swings from active player in the NFL to analyst on a week-by-week basis. And so we'll talk to Greg about the Panthers quarterback situation and the NFL picture after 6 weeks, coming up here at about 20 minutes past the hour. Also, later on in the hour, Super Dave! Dave Friedman brings us his college football picks. Last week, 2-1, which moves him to 12-9 overall on the season. It's only 6 weeks into this campaign, really 7 weeks for college football, so it's not like we should actually have the final terms of the bet between him and Mraz ironed out yet. You know, it's still really early. Also, later on in the show, we've got CBS Sports NFL analyst Rich Gannon, former NFL MVP, who will drop on by in hour number three. We'll also discuss whether Brock Osweiler is actually more important than we think, as Osweiler, I want my baby Brock picks, retires. Also, the NFL wants a 17-game schedule in the league office. Is that crazy pants? And the Astros are deciding to go with a bullpen game. Ooh, when? We'll discuss whether A.J. Hinch's decision could blow up in their face in the ALCS, which resumes tonight in the Bronx. All of that coming up this morning on the show. And as always, any of those topics you want to jump in on, let's do it. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Good morning. Not only do we have ALCS game number four tonight, but we also have Thursday night football, Chiefs and Broncos. Now, Kansas City has fallen to 4-2 after a 4-0 start. And the two losses they have actually are not terrible losses. They are teams that could very well be in the playoffs as well. But they lost them both at home. And it's not a great sign when your two losses are against maybe the two best teams you played. The Chiefs lost in a bruising game 2 weeks ago at home on Sunday night to the Colts, who really owned the offensive and defensive line of that game. And then this past weekend to Deshaun Watson and the Texans, as the Chiefs blew a lead at home. So if you're going to lose two games, glass half full is, well, these are two playoff caliber teams we lost to. Glass half empty is, well, our two losses are to the two best teams we played. Mahomes' ankle is dinged. We see that. The Chiefs' offensive line hasn't been very good. They have not run the football as effectively as they did last year. And the defense ain't fixed. And that ultimately is the biggest concern. Look, Mahomes is gonna Mahomes. Okay? As we get into this season even deeper, if the Chiefs make the playoffs, I don't care if you got Patrick Mahomes on one amputated leg. You'll take your chances. That dude, no matter what, can still do the impossible even on one ankle. Granted, he's compromised right now, so he's doing the amazing or the impossible less. But hey, if I told you the way that it is right now with his ankle, you get Patrick Mahomes in the divisional round of the playoffs, you'll say, fine, I'll take my chances. The problem is this Chiefs defense is not good enough to protect a lead when they've got it, meaning Mahomes has got to keep pouring on points. And he's being asked to do a lot on a compromised ankle because they can't run the football effectively. But they've also had injuries, wide receivers, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins. So it hasn't been a full complement of weapons for Mahomes. But the problem is that they have not fixed the defense, which screwed them over the AFC Championship game because they couldn't get a stop when it mattered most. And then when they did get a stop, they were offsides. So with the Chiefs, 4-2. And the Patriots, 6-0. And the Texans, having just beaten that Chiefs team, have the Chiefs already screwed themselves out of a bye, which is important. Last year, they had that bye, ended up in the AFC Championship game. It is where we begin your cold open.
My first year here, whenever the team went through a little stretch where they weren't winning games, was something that I could always follow. I can look back upon and realize that it's a long season. You can figure it out. And that team, my rookie season, started hot, had a few games they didn't like it, and then they kind of picked it back up as the season went on.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, Hart Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Then, of course, Patrick Mahomes. No, I do not think that the Chiefs have already blown their bye. They may have already blown home field advantage because the Patriots schedule is such a run of cupcakes. It is so easy that the Pats will more than likely be 14-2 or better, and the Chiefs already have their two losses. So I don't think they're going to be able to catch the Patriots for the one seed, which is just a shame that we're already talking about the Patriots locking up the one seed this early in the season. But such is life for the Patriots' schedule this year. They got the ultimate gift from the gods, which has happened far too often in my lifetime. But I don't think that the Chiefs have already punted on the other bye, on the number two seed, and here's why. The Chiefs under Andy Reid have been known to be quite streaky. Remember, they began 9-0 in 2013, and then the following season, or the season after that, one of those teams, they won 11 straight, remember, after they began the season 1-5, that there is a penchant for Andy Reid teams to go on crazy runs, and Patrick Mahomes, obviously, to do incredible things. And if the Chiefs end up at 13-3, my guess is they'll have that bye. Now, that gives them almost no room for error down the stretch, and maybe even 12-4 gets them that bye. But right now, you cannot say that the Chiefs are significantly worse or worse off trying to get to 11 or 12 wins than the Ravens, who are 4-2, the Bills, who are 4-1, the Texans, who are 4-2. Those are the teams that you are battling for that two seed and that all-important coveted bye. So the Chiefs can be streaky. This offense can explode. And the Chiefs are okay right now, still looking at a bye even after these two losses. The issue is the defense isn't fixed. And they change coordinators and they change scheme and they change personnel. And it's still not fixed. It's leaky, and at times it's gruesome. And that is going to be the problem because of the flip side. The Patriots defense looks really good. And we know their offense can be very good, whereas the Chiefs are floated by their offense. But look, the Texans still have Bill O'Brien as their head coach. The Baltimore Ravens still, 1 week can look great, 1 week look terrible. And the Buffalo Bills have not been a power broker in the NFL before. And so how do they handle having a great defense but perhaps a limited offense and trying to stack up 10 or 11 wins? The Chiefs are firmly in a good place to get the second bye, even with the 4-2 start. But short week, divisional game, got to win this game. Now, in the AFC West, the Chiefs are just dominated under Andy Reid. They win their conference games. They win their divisional games, rather. So tonight, you've got to take this one. You've got to have it. 3-3 is another big blow to those chances of the second bye. So this is assuming they get the victory tonight with their backs up against the wall. They really need it. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. Yankees and Astros rained out yesterday, so that means tonight is going to be game number 4 in the ALCS. And this is nut and bolts time. This is cut and onions time. This is how big are they time. Because the Astros have a chance tonight to put a stranglehold on this series. A win puts the Astros at 3-1. A win away from the World Series again with 2 at home guaranteed. Now, they've already guaranteed them going back to Houston, but if you're up 3-1 and you still have Verlander and Cole to go, game, set, match, good night, winkiness. But it's Greinke on the mound. And look at Greinke's postseason. And look at Greinke's postseason numbers overall in his career. And ask the question, Greinke, a guy that didn't want to sign with New York, didn't want to be traded to the Yankees, never has wanted to play in a brutal market like New York can be, like Boston or Philly can be, will now be on the mound in that environment. I've always really enjoyed Zach because he marches to a different beat. I think also people probably mistake his social anxiety for just being flighty, and that's not really fair to him. But tonight is a cauldron. In the Bronx, game 4, ALCS, and a guy that has not had good postseason efforts, that did not want to play in New York, has got to give a good postseason effort in New York. Let's see. When we come back, 3-time Pro Bowler for the Carolina Panthers at tight end, Greg Olsen's going to join us. We've got to ask about Cam Newton and Kyle Allen. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Callers come on, they have to ask to board. If he grants them permission to board, he plays that sound effect.
Like, DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Brand new PGP is out. Permission granted podcast, the show about the show within the show. Check it out all the same places you get the DA show in podcast form. And it has its own iTunes and podcast feed as well at radio.com. Also, permission granted podcast. Our next guest is a 3-time Pro Bowl tight end for the Carolina Panthers. And, you know, in his off time, he calls NFL games as well. He is a multifaceted dynamo, not only one of the best tight ends of the game, but also will be on the call for Giants and Cardinals on Fox since his Panthers have a bye. Greg Olsen joining us. Greg, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks so much for joining us. And you guys step into this bye week 4-2, 4 straight wins. So you got to be feeling pretty good. And at the quarterback position, Kyle Allen has filled in admirably. What changed? What's been so good with Allen offensively in the last 4 games?
I just think he's doing a good job doing what he's asked. And that's just kind of taking the plays that are there. Doesn't have to feel like he needs to carry the entire burden. We're getting a lot of contribution from a lot of different players. Obviously, Christian he's gotten off to a great start. DJ and Curtis on the outside have done a great job at receiver. Our defense, of course, is, you know, leading the league in sacks, either leading it or somewhere at the top of turnover, you know, forced takeaways. So, you know, we're getting a lot of complimentary ball right now, and I think for any young player, or especially at quarterback, that's a great recipe for success. So we got to continue to find that and continue to keep that momentum moving coming off the bye. And, you know, we're going to have a big challenge on our hands against San Francisco. They're playing really well as well. So we got a long stretch still ahead of us, but to kind of fix our 0-2 start with 4 in a row is exactly what we needed. And, here we are sitting 4-2 at the bye, getting ready to have a long 10-week stretch here. So we're gonna have our work cut out for us.
Some of our observers have said that Kyle Allen's style of play supports Christian McCaffrey more. It creates more space for him versus when Cam Newton was in there in the first 2 weeks. Would you agree with that?
I don't know. I think Christian is good with anybody. I think Christian obviously is a unique and talented guy, and what he's able to do in space. I just think those first couple of weeks we didn't see Cam, healthy and be able to be the factor he could be with the run game and his movement and stuff. He wasn't healthy in that regard, and we weren't seeing a typical Cam Newton that we've been accustomed to seeing. So I think, you know, injury has such an impact on this game. And I've been there myself over the last couple of years where you just feel like you can't do what you're typically used to doing. And that's frustrating, and it's hard to deal with. And just the reality is injuries are part of this game. And, they have an effect on all teams across the league, and we've had our fair share of that so far this year as well.
Greg Olsen joins us this morning on the show. Some have said, well, you can't put Cam back in there because you guys are on a roll right now. Would you worry at all about messing with the mojo that you guys have by changing quarterbacks when he's healthy?
I think the biggest thing is when he's healthy. I think, you know, our biggest concern when he stepped away for a few weeks after the Tampa game, you know, he knew, the team knew, they had great, you know, dialogue about, you know, we got to get his foot right. You know, he was battling, he was giving us everything that he had. It just was getting in the way of him playing to the level that he's accustomed to. And, when that time comes, the powers to be will handle that. But until Cam, I think, you know, feels himself, is back at practice, running around, moving around the way we've, you know, seen him for 9 years now. I don't think, you know, I think at that moment is when the decision has to be made, and anything prior to that is just really speculation.
One of the national stories going on right now is a potential 17-game schedule. Sounds like Roger Goodell and the owners really want it, and you as the players have said, nah, not so fast. How do you feel about a potential 17-game schedule?
Yeah, I think I would be open to it. I think the reality is, are you going to be compensated for the extra time? I think there are some ways that they can adjust preseason. I think we see a lot of injuries, and I think we see a lot of wear and tear on guys during training camp for preseason games, joint practices. I think there's got to be some sort of common ground that we find prior to the season even starting. I think that's something that they can focus on. But playing 17 games, if the salary cap was adjusted and it led to more revenues and it led to more money being spread throughout the league and benefits and all the things that guys fight for, then, yeah, I don't think going from 16 to 17 would be too big of a burden, especially if you consider adjusting what we do, you know, in August, you know, in July and August and the training camp and cutting down on some of the preseason games. So I definitely think there's some common ground we can find. I know personally I would not be opposed to it.
So that's the one thing that we keep hearing, that the bodies of the players take so much abuse. There's already so many injuries toward the end of the season, everybody banged up, that adding another game into the mix would be difficult. But in your mind, that's not a huge concern, huh?
You know, I think guys are going to be banged up. I think guys are going to be hurt. I think that's the reality that we face today. I also think if you ask guys, playing 4 preseason games, even if guys aren't playing in them, so to speak, it's still a handful of reps. You're still out there. You're still getting banged around. I think training camp practices have gotten better over the years. I still think there's, conversation to be had. Does it need to be as long? Does it need to be, away from your facility? Does it need to be 14 hours a day? I think there's a lot of those conversations that can be kind of settled on. But again, if you ask me, are we going to play for the same amount of money and just add games? Obviously, that's a non-starter. And as we all know, all these negotiations are, a leverage for the owners to make more money and the players to get a bigger cut out of it. That's, at the end of the day, anything other than those two arguments are just sideshows. That's really what it comes down to. The players want a larger cut of the cap, not just for salary cap, not just for money, but that's where our benefits come from, you know, both during and post-career. There's so many factors that come from that, and that's the dominating topic of these negotiations, and everything else is kind of secondary.
Greg Olsen joins us, three-time Pro Bowler for the Carolina Panthers. Panthers have a bye this week. He's going to be on the call for Giants and Cardinals for the NFL on Fox. I really want to know, as a current player yourself, your viewpoint on the Jalen Ramsey situation. Jalen clearly unhappy with the organization, decided not to play. Eventually they had to trade him, and now he seems happy again going to the Rams. As a guy in the locker room, would it have been difficult to watch one of your best players not play despite being healthy because he was in a war of words with the organization?
Yeah, I think we're entering into a really dangerous kind of territory here. I think, you know, it's a really difficult situation. I think we've seen a few guys, you know, attempt it. Some have worked. You know, it worked, so to speak, with Antonio Brown until things got, you know, kind of more of a legal issue. But, you know, we saw Melvin Gordon try to do it. It did not work. You know, now we saw Jalen Ramsey, and it did work. It kind of resembles a little bit more of the leverage that some of the NBA guys have. I just think, you know, as players, it's great. I just think for the league to just have some of your top players just literally put their feet in the ground and say, we're not going to play until you get rid of me and let me go to a team I want to play for, is just a real slippery slope. But, you know, I think the fortunate reality is I think only a few guys really have that leverage and only a few guys have that power. And, you know, it's going to take one team to call your bluff and say, okay, well, you're either going to play here or you're not going to play at all. And I think that's when guys are going to have a really tough decision. I think Melvin Gordon kind of came to those, you know, he tried to push his, and I don't blame guys. I understand trying to get what you feel you deserve and get your contract. I have no animosity for guys looking out for themselves. I just think it's a really delicate situation. I think it's more of an NFL issue. I think it's fine for the players. I mean, I have no animosity towards the guys. I understand looking out for yourself. I think it's more of a league situation that they need to try to get a handle on, because if not, you know, you're going to have, you know, what stops other guys from following the same approach.
Yeah. Greg Olsen joining us this morning on the show. You are here on behalf of your partner, Smartwater Alkaline, so you can give us a little background on that. What are you doing with those guys?
So as you said, I got a busy bye week. When we get back from the bye on Sunday night, my wife and I, we run a big foundation back in Charlotte, which supports the Children's Hospital, and where our son was treated. And one of our big annual events that we're doing this year at the practice facility in Carolina is the Hardest Yard Fit Fest. And our friends at Smartwater Alkaline, they're going to help us be there and keep our participants hydrated, keep them involved. They're a big supporter of us both on and off the field, and our community work is a big priority to us. And our friends at Smartwater Alkaline have been a great partner, and they're going to be they're going to be a big part of the success of our big event on Monday.
Greg Olsen joining us this morning on the show. Good stuff. He's a two-time All-Pro, three-time Pro Bowler. Will be on the call this weekend, Giants and Cardinals on Fox. Greg, it's really cool to catch up, man. Great stuff today. Thanks so much for doing it.
All right, thanks so much, guys.
Take care. You got it. Greg Olsen joining us this morning on the show. I love what he said about the Jalen Ramsey situation, because I agree, it's a slippery slope. You know, I'm not anti guys being empowered. What I find problematic is the way that Jalen Ramsey was able to act like a child, basically do the whole end around about why he's sitting out, be completely healthy, and sit on the sidelines, stand on the sidelines, watching his teammates battle without him. You know, these careers are fleeting for so many guys. Your chances at success are so brief. Who knows how many guys are busting their butt on that team to try to win a football game, and just by Jalen Ramsey being there, could have a different outcome. And instead, they're killing themselves, and they go to the sideline, and here he is healthy in a hoodie, pouting because he didn't like being reprimanded by his boss. And he got his way. You know, and Antonio Brown got his way. And that doesn't feel like a good place for the NFL to be. rewarding terrible behavior. When we come back here on the show, Super Dave, we will get his college football picks. He went 2-1 last week. He always has a few factoids. The master of minutia. He's got a few factoids that I'm sure you did not know about. We'll get Super Dave's picks coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's new on CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, it's a throwback Thursday here on the DA Show. Thanks so much for being with us. Your phone number, as always, is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by our good friends over at Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. Geico.com. You can also hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. And coming up tomorrow morning on the show, Boise State head coach Brian Harsin coming off the big win over Hawaii, establishing themselves as the class of the Mountain West. A big one coming up this weekend at BYU, and their starting quarterback, Hank Bachmeier, has been so good this season. Got banged up last weekend. Will he play? Will he not play? Boise State, the best of the group of five right now. They're soaring. Big offensive explosion on Saturday against Hawaii. We'll talk to head coach Brian Harsin, Boise State head coach, tomorrow morning right here on the show. Also, a little bit later on in the show, Rich Gannon's going to join us from the NFL on CBS. Jermaine's next up. He's in Erie, Pennsylvania, listening to 1300 of CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Jermaine.
Good morning.
How we doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm good, man. What's up?
Thank you for the time. I was just wanted to talk about the Chiefs and Andy Reid. When you're two games straight, just rushing the ball 12 times the entire game, you're not helping the offense or the defense. You're especially not helping Patrick Mahomes with the ankle problem if you're constantly having him backing up passing. You have to run the ball more than three times a quarter, that's breaking it down to. Frank Clark, I don't think, was a good choice for us because he only has one sack and, like, 19 pressures. We got rid of D. Ford and Eric Berry for that. I don't agree with that, and I'm just a fan. So I'm just saying, still, Andy Reid has to run the ball more to help Patrick Mahomes and help the defense.
I think you're right, Jermaine, and I think that they might be hesitant to do so because it hasn't been effective to this point of the season, and they're worried about that offensive line because there were injury to their habit injuries. Looks like they'll get Eric Fisher back, which is huge. But I would agree, Mahomes is not 100%. That ankle is not 100%. So why not take some of the load off by trying to run the football? And I think Andy Reid got gun-shy on that on Sunday and might be gun-shy right now because it hasn't been effective for him. But doesn't mean he can bail on it. Again, 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. It's time for your college football picks with Super Dave.
It's a spread. It's a line. It's Super Dave.
All I know is if you're betting our games, you're sitting on enough money to retire. BYU, they're okay. Brent Gabbert, that's Blaine's brother.
With your weekly college football picks.
Our picks are on fire. I'm more concerned taking over for a guy named Huge. This is just an unbelievable coaching mismatch.
Thank you, Super Dave.
Super Dave went 2-1 last week with his college football picks, which means he's 12-9 of the season. Super Dave, good morning.
Good morning, DA.
Always good to hear your voice on a Thursday morning. Good to see you over the weekend in Charlotte. Big storms, though. I'm hoping that the city of Charlotte still stands after that.
Yeah, it was great to see you. I spoke with my friend Jeremy, who you connected with in Clemson. He really enjoyed hanging out with you guys. It sounded like, aside from your trip down here, it went pretty well.
Yeah, it did. He was a great dude, helped set up a great tailgate at Clemson, and that is all. Jeremy actually gets a star turn in my Nomad episode, my travel series, available right now on YouTube of my trip to Clemson. Let's get into your picks. We start with Air Force and Hawaii. This one is on the island. Hawaii is +3. They are getting 3 points. And this is the take the points and meet the coach pick. So what do you got?
Yeah, there was a great article in The Athletic this week about Nick Rolovich, the coach of Hawaii. He went to Marin Catholic High School. That's the same school that Jared Goff went to. After their loss at Boise State last week, he hit up a dude that's friends with him on Twitter and got together and met and hung out for a couple of hours. He's just a guy's guy, a great guy, and he's a pretty darn good football coach, too. When you look at the bottom line in this game, Hawaii turns the ball over way too much. They're minus 12 turnovers this year. They're last in the country, 19 total turnovers. But Air Force doesn't turn anybody over. Air Force has picked off only 3 passes all year. They're -3 turnover margin. If Air Force can't turn over Hawaii, they can't win the game. Hawaii beat a couple of Pac-12 opponents, Arizona and Oregon State, -4 and -2 turnovers in that game. I think they hold on to the ball well enough, and they win outright.
I can't imagine Nick Saban or others, Kirby Smart, reaching out to Twitter followers and hanging out with them for a day.
Yeah, you're the only one that does that.
San Diego State and San Jose State. San Diego State is actually favored by 8 points on the road. And this is the game where 76 is better than 6. What do you mean here, Super Dave?
Well, Rocky Long is 76 and 36 at San Diego State. And Brent Brennan, the coach of San Jose State, is 6 and 25. Now, San Jose State does have a big win this year at Arkansas. But aside from that, they're just not a great program. San Diego State has won 6 straight in the series by an average of 24 points or more. The way San Jose State has notched victories this year, similar to the first game we talked about, they have forced 18 turnovers plus 12 turnover margin. Those are best in the country. It's not sustainable. And San Diego State is as disciplined a program as there is in the country. They hold the ball for long stretches of time. They don't turn the ball over. They don't get penalized. The only question is, does San Diego State score enough points to cover? They're not a high-octane offense. I just think they grind it out. They'll have the ball the whole game. San Jose State is pretty good passing the ball. San Diego State is excellent pass defensively. I think San Diego State just grinds them out and wins 20-7.
And finally, in the Big 12, Baylor, who's flying high right now, ranked team, Matt Rhule doing a good job there, at Okie State in Stillwater. Now, Oklahoma State is favored by 3, and you've titled this Homecoming in Stillwater. And does that include a former prime minister of South Korea?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, all of the luminaries, all of the alums will be back on campus. Oklahoma State is coming off a bye, and their famous alums, Garth Brooks, James Martin, and Prime Minister of South Korea, Nam Duck Woo. I assume they'll all be there.
Well, if Nam Duck Woo is in the house, then you know it's a big game. Okie State laying the 3. You like the Cowboys here?
Yeah, I like the Cowboys. I think these teams are really very close. But Oklahoma State is coming off a bye and playing at home, while Baylor just played that 2 overtime game where the officials assisted them in beating Texas Tech. Baylor is 6-0, but they haven't played the world's greatest schedule, and Oklahoma State is competent. We've seen Mike Gundy teams year after year after year get better after buys, get stronger as the year moves along. They have the 8th best offense in the country. I think everything sets up here for the Cowboys.
Here's Super Day's picks on the week. San Diego State laying 8. Okie State laying 3. Hawaii plus the 3. That's his picks. And Super Dave, what's on your podcast, The Bearded Carcast, this week?
Oh, we hit all of the hard topics like laundry and pumpkins and Taylor Swift, a little football, a little baseball as well. Lots of fun as always.
You know who's a big Taylor Swift fan? Nam Duck Woo.
Has to be.
Thank you, Super Dave.
Thank you, D.A.
It's a bird. It's a plane. It's
Super Dave.
Every Thursday here on the D.A. Show. He went 2-1 last week. He is 12-9 on the season. The master of minutia, Super Dave Friedman. Also the voice of Winthrop basketball. 855-212-4CBS is your phone number. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Next hour, I want to address this 17-game schedule. This idea that Roger Goodell has been trying to force down the throats of the NFLPA and of fans across the country. Now, Greg Olson just joined us, current Panthers tight end, and he likes the idea. Or at least he said he would be open to the idea. I would have thought that most of the NFLPA was in lockstep. Fight it, fight it, fight it, fight it, fight it. We don't want to do it. But maybe not everybody falls into that box. Maybe for a guy like Olson, he realizes, hey, if this means a bigger chunk of change, let's do it. Let's make it work. I don't like the idea, and I will lay out why I don't like the idea of the 17-game schedule coming up here at the top of the hour. One thing that we know is that this is Oinktober, and no October with the Yankees of the playoffs is complete without Mraz oinking like a swine, guaranteeing wins. Now, before the season began or before the series began against the Astros, Mraz prediction, Yankees in five. That can't happen as the Astros take a 2-1 series lead. And right now, he should be scared. He should be worried because not only are his Yankees down 2-1, they still have to play. They still have to go up against Verlander and Cole at some point in time, and that would include a potential Game 6 and Game 7 in Houston if it goes that far. So you'd think that Mraz would be humbled. You'd think Mraz would be hopeful that maybe things could turn around for his Yankees and be respectful of the opponent. You would be wrong, because Mraz is now saying that A.J. Hinch's decision to not throw a bullpen game tonight in game number 4 has, quote, lost the series for the Astros, and that everything is coming up Yankees again. And when will you learn that the opponent that has the control of the series deserves respect, not scoring?
I did learn that. That's why I'm respecting the Yankees. They have the control of the series. They have the next two games at home, have to get Verlander now at home. That puts them in control. They have to face a bullpen game now in Houston, game 6 or 7. That puts them in control. I'm giving all the respect in the world to the team in control of this series.
This is a totally sensible move by Hinch. It's totally sensible. He's putting Greinke out there, trying to get control even more with a 3-1 series lead. Why punt if you could be up 3-1 by throwing your bullpen out there?
Because, Damon, a little lesson in baseball for you. Justin Verlander, much better at home than he is on the road. So, okay, you're going to have to, no matter what, you trust him, right? But now that you have to like the Yankees' chances of beating Verlander far better at Yankee Stadium than doing Houston, I think we can all agree on that. So the Yankees, with their best stud, Tanaka, are going to tie the series at 2. Then if they have to beat Verlander eventually anyway, you'd much rather beat him at home or have a better shot at beating him at home. Once they do that, wait a minute. Now the Astros have to win 2 games in a row back in their building and facing elimination.
They did against you guys 2 years ago.
But Uncle Dennis ain't walking through that door.
Uncle Dennis.
So they'll have to, because A.J. Hinch will be in a pinch, have to pitch Gerrit Cole on 3 days rest in Game 6. And if Cole throws a dynamite game, okay, then you get to a Game 7 and the Yankees have to face a bullpen game versus them. Or if he gets bombed, series over in 6. Essentially, A.J. Hinch's decision now to go Greinke and Verlander ended the series for all intents and purposes, unless you trust Verlander to dominate the Yankees in Game 5. But how could you do that right now, knowing it's in Yankee Stadium?
Oh, so we've now gone from Astros lead the series 2-1 with Cole and Verlander still to go, and you like Yankees in 6.
Well, I'm going to give Gerrit Cole in 3 days rest of the game. I'm going to go Yankees in 7.
Oh, okay.
But it's very much on the table that it's Yankees on 6 now because of the way this lined up. It's just bad managing. It's bad understanding. Greinke's going to get bombed tonight. Tanaka's probably going to throw 7-inning gem. And then you line up Paxton versus Verlander at Yankee Stadium, and suddenly the Yankees are up 3-2, and now they've done what they had to do in beating a Verlander game.
Oh, God.
And here we go. Cole on 3 days rest, and if he beats you, you get a bullpen game. Series over. See you, Washington.
The Astros are going for the kill shot here.
And they missed.
Well, we don't know that yet.
We know that.
We know that.
They've missed.
We know that.
We know that.
And how do we know that?
Because Greinke stinks.
Oh.
Verlander is not pitching in Houston. Gerrit Cole's going to have to go on 3 days rest. Worst case, bullpen game 7. See you. Good night.
You know, Bilotti, just when you thought the pig had been silenced, he becomes even more piggy.
Nothing ever surprises me with him anymore. And he actually believes the stuff he says, which is really baffling to me.
No, what's baffling is that you guys know what's happening right now, and you're getting fearful. Rain helped the Yankees yesterday.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Remember, the DA show is here with you, so you can listen to us on SiriusXM Channel 206. Stream us using the Radio.com app, Apple Music, the CBS Sports app. Watch us at WatchDA.com. If your local affiliate changes us, that's okay. Coming up next, I'm laying out why the 17-game schedule stinks as an idea.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.